This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Molloy.
Chock-a-block is the word that springs to mind when I mention today's great program here at Kennedy Molloy. Three top-shelf guests, Jane Kennedy.
I'm very excited and I got a spring in my step too, Mick Molloy.
Lee Sales from 7:30.
Excellent.
Isha Gua from Triple M Cricket.
Excellent.
And Carl Stefanovic from The Women's Mag. You know
doubly
him, don't
excellent.
You? From
no,
the Today Show, of course.
We have a great wonderful. Show and we've got lots to talk about. We'll continue the cheating in sports scenario, which has got really...
Yeah.
Well, we'll go to try and get to the thick of it as I try and get tongue-tied talking about it.
We will try and get to the bottom of the cesspool that is cheating in sport, Jane Kennedy.
Yes, we will. Also, we're going to look at Donald Trump again and Stormy because I've had an update and it's quite an unusual one. What has she got in common with Monica?
Monica Lewinsky.
Lewinsky.
Wow.
I ask you that. It's
interesting.
Very interesting.
Okie dokie.
I'm also going to have a look at Bachelor in Paradise.
Are
it's
you?
Been going for a few nights.
Wondering
now.
How long this would take.
I thought
you
I'd
to turn your attention.
Dip my big toe.
You're
in.
Still coming down off maths.
I'm you've, still coming down.
You can't
off maths,
go cold
right.
turkey, so you've had a look.
Can't.
All right.
I'm interested
to know what the premise is in that department.
All right.
We're going to take your calls, take your tweets. There's plenty of show to go round for everyone. Hello, Dangerous Dave.
Good afternoon, Mick. Good afternoon, Jane.
Good afternoon.
Right.
Hello,
good afternoon
Dave.
To you too.
We were having a chat before, just quickly then, and talking about Bachelor in Paradise.
Yeah.
I'm gonna look at a bit later in the show.
What's this? A bunch of dudes on an island fighting over chicks.
Yes, but it's equal it? Dudes and equal chicks, or so nearly.
Right.
But it's, you know, who's going to crack on with her? I'll explain a bit more. But
it's
just
like MILF Island.
It is MILF.
Yes. That was
if
on
only.
30 Rock, I think it was.
Oh,
was it MILF Island?
Oh, really? Yes.
That was
well,
their
that's,
big one.
Well, one day they are going to be MILFs, I'm sure, these people on the island. But here's just a little taste of who's gone back onto there. They're people we're familiar with, you know, bachelors and bachelorettes. Right. We're going to see a little bit more of this girl.
Is one of the most iconic locations in Sydney.
Do they just serve pies?
Yeah.
Everybody else kind of gets like Ferraris and super yachts and private jets and you get a dirty street pie.
The dirty street pie girl.
Who's that?
It's Lorena.
Hi, Lorena.
Yeah.
I think I spelled a drink on her once.
You think you
in
what?
The Have You Been Paying Attention
oh,
green
yeah.
room.
Oh, no kidding.
Pretty sure. That's two victims I have to my name in the green room I've spilled a drink on.
Who's the other one?
Sarah Murdoch. Do you remember that?
Oh.
Yeah, that was. I'm sure those jeans were worth about $10,000.
Oh, no. That was
probably
terrible.
Thrown out.
That was a bit
on
awkward.
The way home. All right, so you're
right.
hooked already. What,
I'm hooked,
what about Suki Lala? Is he in it? The old little, I don't like it.
We'll
Sophie
get to
Monks.
That. He's coming on.
Oh, he's coming on, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he hasn't arrived
yet. Is it the same island
yet.
He left in disgrace?
It is. It literally is. All right, now, you are off to
I'm
Adelaide.
Excited because
yes,
on Thursday night I'll be in Adelaide for the grand final replay. Everyone knows I'm a massive Tiger fan. I'll be going to Adelaide. This is going to be massive and I cannot wait.
You're very excited. But where are you going to be sitting? Where are you going to be?
The Hill of Grace restaurant I'm going to, which is...
What's that?
What?
Well, Hill of Grace, which
mean?
Is one of the finest wines in
oh, you know in, what, Dave? I've heard this. They've got a bloody restaurant.
It's fantastic.
At the ground.
Last time I was there, I drank $14,000 worth of wine and didn't pay for it.
At the
anyway, looking forward to going back. It's going to be
what?
Great.
14 grand's worth of
wine. Oh, that wasn't just
oh,
me.
Oh, you have changed.
I'm a man
yeah,
of
you
the people.
Have changed.
Oh, my God.
Well,
who
the CUB
are you?
Box was full.
Oh, no, are you seriously just drinking Hill of Grace
no,
wine?
No, well, look, I might have a
and
couple.
And having a meat pie.
I might have a couple.
Or Chateaubriand.
It will be fantastic. I need to speak to Mark Rusciuto, and
oh, yeah.
I think, because we usually normally have a bet. He's from our sister station, Triple M, Adelaide.
Ruined it.
What about this? We have a bet where I get him to agree to replace every photo of him at his pub with a photo of me.
Gee, that's a lot of photos.
A lot of photos.
Stand by me here.
Great idea.
I've been there. I've seen he's got quite a few.
He's like Mousy Tung.
Hey, I've got a bit of a... I was down in the supermarket just before, just getting a
not the one downstairs.
Yeah. One downstairs.
Don't you go down there without pepper spray.
Yeah, it can get a bit fruity sometimes down there.
Oh, it's quite colourful, I must say. There's only two arrests today. I was in there and I was walking past
you. Got an aisle where you get arrested. It's like an eight items or less aisle.
I was all right. I didn't get done today.
Good.
But I saw these new chips.
I was wondering what this display is.
And I swear, no one sent this in for us. I just saw this and I thought I'd do a taste test because I've never seen such hilarious chip flavours, and I want to see if you can guess what the flavours are.
I'm like the Matt Preston of
You are.
Of
this
crisps.
Is a Matt Preston. Okay, try number one. Let's just start with number one.
Chip number one.
And tell
one.
Me what it's a hint of, because I'll tell you what it is. What are you getting first? What's the first bouquet?
Kind of after dinner minty.
So not.
Dinner minty.
So not.
I don't know. What is it?
Don't look at me with that face product? Like that. It's not cleaning product.
I thought it was sweet when I tasted that number one.
You said you nearly nailed it bang straight away, yeah. Dave.
Sorry, who's doing the testing here? All of a sudden Dave's the resident expert, is he?
Tell us one thing you seriously are getting.
Cut my lunch and get in there.
All right. What are you getting? It's not cleaning product smell. Camembert cheese and fig.
Oh, there's a reason why I don't eat either of those two things.
Yum. That's yummy. All right, try bowl number two.
Camembert, cheese, and fig.
That is yum.
Camembert fig out of my mouth.
I like it. Okay, see if you can get this one. I want the exact words, please.
That's like a chili con carne.
Oh.
Shut up, Dave.
It's close. It's got chili in it. But what type of chili?
It's like a chili mornay.
Chili Morna.
Shit house, whatever it is. What is it?
It's chipotle. Oh,
chipotle.
And manuka honey.
Okay, well, the manuka honey's not pulling its weight.
How about we go to a song? I've got
no,
three.
No, one more.
One more. All right, number three, try that. And I want the absolute, and okay. Just don't say, oh, that's just blah and blah.
All right. I just got to do a palate cleanser.
With Hill of Grace.
Don't you go near my Hill of Grace. Don't ruin that for me.
Oh, I'm not going to ruin it for you. All right, what's that flavour?
That is. Is it like hairy underarm? What's that?
Why is it a hairy underarm?
I don't know, because it's a bit more woofy. It's got tannins, certain tannins of woof.
Can you not pick one vague flavour out of that? Come on.
I don't know.
What is it a bit like?
Marmalade.
Marmalade.
I nearly swore. It's champagne, vinaigrette, and shallot, and you're a fair dinkum idiot.
Well, I might take those to the Hill of Grace.
Hey, Ishagua.
No idea.
Is going to join us right after this live from India.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Carl Stefanovic to join us soon, but right now.
Ishagua is a World Cup winning cricketer from England, but we fell in love with her for her deep thinking during last summer's Ashes series.
How many times by the end of Steve Smith's career do you reckon he would have touched himself while batting?
Oh, crikey, Isha.
But we love Isha the most because she's happy to give Mick Malloy a bit of stick.
Hello, Mickey.
Well, I've just loosened the belt after a very big luncheon.
Does your belt go that loose?
Wait.
Oh,
there we go.
Wow.
Game on.
To the offside.
In fact, she's happy to give Mick a lot of stick.
Chris Wokes then, he put his body on the line, he got hit in the face.
He fielded one.
Would you have done that, Mick?
Never.
Well, I've corrected a few things, getting hit in the face.
Now.
Joining us on the phone, in compliance with Mick's restraining order, please welcome Isha Gua.
How do you feel, Isha? How do you feel when you hear that and you say all those hurtful things about one of your co-commentators?
I feel terrible, especially in this current climate as well.
Okay, no, we'll get to that just before
you know I love you, Mick. You know
I know you do, and it's straight back at you. Before we get to the hoo-ha, good news. The Aussies have just had a win, the girls, in the T20.
Yeah, it's all about the women. You don't get much rubbish on the pitch with the women, apart from just playing really good cricket. And, they're through to the final on Saturday in the T20 series here in India against the old enemy, England.
When you say, oh, hi, Isha, it's Jane here, and I'm sorry that you had to put up with Mick too over the summer.
Don't worry, I'm getting plenty of stick in here too,
Isha. It was
Isha.
Tough when I got through it.
Yeah, I know. We'll have to go out for a long dinner one time, the two of us, I think.
Jane.
Yeah, I'm sure we have. Is there much banter out there with the chicks when they're that you know of?
Yeah, the girls play hard. I wouldn't say, certainly when I played, there wasn't loads of sledging that went on. They play it hard, and it's more about sort of performances on the cricket pitch. I don't know now the game's professional, whether that might come into play a bit more, but generally integrity is pretty good.
Hisha, you're in a unique position to give us an insight into what's happening or how the world is viewing the Australian cricket team at the moment, because I know you're a dirty pom, so we'll get the English perspective, but you happen to be in India.
I knew there was a reason we lost the Ashes.
Oh, here we go. And this is the problem for the Australian cricket team now, because everything will be called into question. You're currently in India. How would you describe the press reaction in India to what's happening in South Africa?
Yeah, look, guys, in all seriousness, it is a very serious issue. As you know, the Indian public are massive cricket fans. Yeah. And they're part of this wave of kind of a new India that like to do things in the right way. Perhaps it's not something they've done in the past, certainly in politics, but certainly all the media, all the journalists are calling everything that's happened in the last week or so into question. Obviously, the IPL is coming up. Rajasthan Royals have already announced that Steve Smith will no longer be captain. Whether he remains as part of the IPL as a player, that remains to be seen as well. Also, sort of speculation around what will happen with David Warner as well. But these questions are all being asked across the news channels. It is the top story. Across all of the channels and also in the papers. So it's not a good look. And also, pretty much every time they mention it, it's sort of going back across the years at all the times that Australia have perhaps not towed the line.
Yep. Yes.
Which is a little unfair, I think, but at the same time, that's going to happen, isn't it, I suppose, in this day and age where, you know, can't hide from anything. So
no, that's right.
That's just the situation at the moment over here.
What about England? What word from England?
To be honest, I haven't actually been aware of what's going on in England too much. Obviously, you know, again, it is a story. Theresa May's even come out and said a few things, which I think is crazy. The governor of Texas is staying here actually at this hotel, so I was trying to find him to try and get his thoughts on the matter, because I'm sure he has an opinion as well.
A public execution for someone if it's Texas, I guess.
it's certainly something that he's looking at from a global point of view, and I know FICA, who are the global players organization, are talking about, you know, the players really need to lead the way they want to behave on the pitch. And that needs to go across the board. I mean, I just watched highlights last night of the India-South Africa test series, and that was pretty spicy as well, you know, on the pitch. There was plenty of sort of swearing and aggro. And I just think that, you know, maybe it's something that needs to be looked at across the board, that side of things. But then obviously, you know, what's happened in with the Australian team, you know, that's uncalled for and has absolutely brought the game into disrepute.
Isha, have you been aware of any of the comments or the feelings of the Australian women who are playing there at the moment?
No, I think from their point of view, it's just about trying to remain in their own bubble. And obviously, this is an opportunity to kind of keep their integrity intact and just play, show it through their performances and playing in the right spirit. Obviously, the one person it might affect is Elisa Healy. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, they have been through a situation last year when they were playing in the World Cup where all the MOU negotiations were going on. And so, you know, they have been through sort of times where they've had lots of distractions already. So I think from their point of view, the fact that they're in Mumbai, I mean, it is hard to get away from when you're watching cricket all the time on television.
Sure.
Can't really get out too much here. And it's constantly in your face. I mean, that is difficult. But I guess they've got to see it as an opportunity to just kind of show how they want Australian cricket to be viewed.
Alicia Healy, of course, who goes out with Stark. Now, I were talking about what would be a fair penalty. I'm suggesting maybe 1 year that for everyone involved, which means they're still eligible to play in the next Ashes series. Does that seem fair? Yes.
It's hard from my point of view to know what the right thing to do is. Obviously, Steve Smith needs to take responsibility. He's the captain. It happened under his watch.
Yeah.
Darren Lehman spoke about the fact that he was going to finish after the Ashes anyway, and so a year earlier. You know, I think it is the right thing that Well, there's two things. It happened beneath him, whether he knew about it or not. It still happened sort of behind his back. So that's still a big issue. So it's caused, naturally a lot of tension within the group, I'm sure.
Sure.
And rightfully so, the public want to know exactly what's happened, whether it was everyone involved, whether it was just, one or two people. But unfortunately for Steve Smith, whether he was sort of instigator or not, he is the captain.
Yep.
And
no, that's true.
Unfortunately for him, he needs to take responsibility.
All right. Well, thanks, Isha, for your thoughts. We'll know more, obviously, when the Cricket Australia hearing gets underway and we get those findings. Thank you very much. And I don't know who you're commentating with over there, but go easy on them, would you? you can be a bit of a bitch at times. You know that.
Steady on.
Hey, thanks, Ish. We really appreciate your thoughts today.
Good on you, Ish. Bye.
Isha Gua, Kennedy Malloy, Carl Stefanovic soon.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, which is probably why the show's called Kennedy Malloy. That's just my best guess.
We're going to take some calls from you, 133353. We want to widen the discussion here to cheats in sport. There's no denying that our cricket team have been caught cheating. It's scandalous, and it's the biggest story in Australia right now. But they're not the only ones. And we want to go through some of the greats and get them, and some of them at local level. What evidence have you seen at your local level of cheating? Now, there's been some beauties over the year which spring to mind. Names synonymous with speedy and short would have to be Lance Armstrong.
Yes.
Check. That would have to be one that comes
really an incredible
right at the top.
Story.
Tonya Harding.
Yep.
He's been topical of late. You've got one there.
Well, it's Trevor Chappell, and in fact, there's a story that has come out, and he didn't cheat,
this might have been within the spirit of the rules, Joe.
That's right. Thanks to his brother, mind you, encouraged him to do it. This is a really amazing story. It struck me today that he's done an interview in the paper, and he said the infamy from 37 years ago has haunted him ever since.
Well, a segment recently, which was about people who have been haunted by the one incident
their entire life.
And he's
And he basically says on the last, when you Google my name, that's what comes up. But what I did has lived with me ever since I did it. And these boys are going to struggle for the rest of their lives, be known for it. Trevor Chappell goes on to say that it was so bad how the fallout afterwards that he honestly believed, because he didn't talk about it and he really bottled it up and it rattled him so much, he blames it for the breakup of his marriage over the years. So it's really, it's devastating.
An underarm incident.
Underarm incident that was legal.
What's the reason for the breakdown of your marriage?
There you go.
It's usually irreconcilable differences, but never.
But
underarm.
Yep.
An underarm delivery. So there you go. There's been some good local additions, obviously, the Cronulla Sharks and in the Essendon Football Club both found guilty in different ways.
Well, Warney was involved in a diet pill scandal when his mum got him
Our horse, Fine Cotton.
Yep.
Which we love. There's been some absolute beauties on the Olympic stage that I've come to love over the years.
Yeah.
Firstly, there was the javelin throw at Moscow. Do you remember that, Kate?
Yes, I vaguely
do. It's a fantastic story. Yeah. So the Russian would come out. They were all throwing javelin. And whenever it was the Russian's turn, they would open the double doors at either end of the stadium. And a massive breeze would float through the stadium. And he's won by about 60 metres.
Oh, no.
That's unreal.
That is a true story.
That's fantastic.
There's another one, a fencer, because it's all electronic. Yeah. So you're supposed to stab the guy, you rate a...
And
the score goes up. Well, he was racking up his own, like on a remote, inside his fence. My all-time favourite was at the Sydney Olympics and the Paralympics in 2000, the Spanish Paralympic basketball team were just ultimately disqualified for fielding able-bodied athletes.
Basketballers.
Who were banging it on.
Oh,
and
my God.
Pretending to be. How badly do you want to win it?
Pretty low.
That's
pretty bad.
That's going to be hard to put up on your shelf.
It's going to be hard to put
gold
up on the
medal,
shelf,
isn't it?
Can I talk about me personally? I accused a golfer of cheating once.
Wow, that's a big call when you do that.
He beat me off the stick. And he was blind.
But you didn't know.
No, I knew he was blind, but I couldn't believe he beat me. He was blind. As blind as a bat.
Well, how's he a cheat then?
Well, I accused him of cheating because he beat me off the stick. No, well, I wasn't convinced he was blind. I thought he was. So as he was putting out, I was standing there holding the pin stark naked, giving it a bit of the old riding the flag like a pole.
You did.
Trying to work out. I'll test if this guy is really. I'll give you a good one.
Hashtag awkward.
I'll give you.
That is.
He didn't bat an eyelid. So he must be blind.
Really?
Hey, at local level, I've got one, and this happened a couple of times. Mm. So if you're playing cricket and it's you for your club and it's over 2 weeks, how often has this happened? You bat first and then come out the next week to field and they've mowed the outfield.
Oh, so it's quicker.
Well, so the ball is just going, so your 180 is now worth. How's that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we'll bat first. The grass is about
at
2 inches.
Yeah.
And then you come back next week and miraculously the outfield has been mowed.
Lightning.
To within an inch of its life and the ball is just zipping.
That's awesome.
That's a good idea of cheating at local
level.
That
is a good idea. Do people have ideas? I don't know. They maybe do.
Give us a call, 133353. Yeah. Have you been involved
in some form
of something
cheating
at grassroots level that, you know, may not get your life banned, but raised eyebrows?
Yeah. You can use a fake name if you want.
Least.
We don't mind.
I'm sure he was blind.
133353.
Nooted up.
Kennedy Malloy.
This is Kennedy Malloy. A new way to drive home.
In honour of our Australian cricket team, of course, we've got some calls coming through. There are some other good ones. Roger Federer, obviously, is one of the biggest
cheats. No, stop saying that.
You know it's true.
No, I will not have you say that.
He takes his fitness breaks at the end of five setters.
He's allowed to do that. That is totally legal. It's in the rules. You're a shocker.
What about the cyclist who had a motor on his bike? Do you remember that guy?
I do.
He's like a cyclist, like a triathlete or whatever. No, he's in the World Cycling.
Yes, he was.
And he had a drink, you know, where the drink bottle is attached to your thing. Well, he's had a motor in it.
A little putt-putt.
He should never have taken his foot off the pedals going.
Hey, Dave, you said Tom Brady.
Yeah, Tom Brady. Deflategate was a big thing a couple of years back for
the
Patriots.
Yeah, that's right. The New England Patriots, Tom Brady.
He got suspended too.
What about the table tennis? Now, the table tennis, if this
must be hard to cheat in table tennis.
Well, you'd think so. But there was a time when the best table tennis players in the world realised that the stronger the adhesive glue to the front of your bat that stuck the material to your bat, the better, the more spin you'd get, more reaction off the worst. And it got to the point where they were putting stronger and stronger glues on their bats until during a game a guy passed out on the fumes off his own bat. That'll get you.
I like that.
Anyway, let's turn our attention to the local level and Aussie sport and any side of cheating on the horizon. Jason, have you noticed anything in your travels?
Yeah, I sure have, mate. Going back to cricket again, like your story was, but not so much with the outfield, with the actual wicket. In local cricket, the team who finishes on top, if they get to the grand final and it's a draw, your team on top gets the win.
Right.
We were sitting on top, got bowled out for 135 on the first day. Heading into the grand final the next day, we didn't really want to lose, so a couple of mates and I went back to the wicket and hacked it up with an axe during the night.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
That's
and called off the next day and we got the win.
Well, Jason, I don't think you're going to get a prize today for that. I don't think we can give you...
That's an inglorious victory. it's
a hollow victory, I would have
not
thought.
Spirit,
I'd like to see Tony Gregg doing a pitch report on that particular morning. Jason, can't condone that. Bob, what have you seen in your travels?
So I was refing junior basketball about a year ago, and there was two teams. We won't say that.
Okay. Yep.
And,
speaking of the phone, mate, we can't. You're losing us.
Sorry, you there?
Yep.
So I was refing. It was an under-14s game.
Yep.
This kid, he was quite defined and muscly, and he had some shoulder taping on. And later on in the game, the taping came up to reveal a tattoo.
In the juniors? Right. Was it a prison tattoo by any chance?
Under 14 basketball. And I'm only 5'7", and he looked about my height. I was 18 at the time.
Oh, dear.
So it was a little tribal tattoo that he had on the inside of
his arm. Okay, he might have been a little bit older than the under-14s.
A little bit mature, more mature than the other under-14s.
Thanks,
Bob. We get it. Brett.
Hey, Brett.
How you going, guys?
Good.
Good, good. Yep, so my one's a little bit more local cricket. We had a guy who, when it was his turn to score, he just used to add random leg byes and random byes into the scorecard. And obviously, I'm not going to say who that is, but I can tell you that he's since played T20s and one days for England.
What? Oh, wow, bombshell.
But he would just be sitting there and going, oh, yeah, I think that was a leg bye, and just write three on the leg byes, and there it is.
And did anybody at the time pick him up on it, or they just let it slide?
The games in which he used to do it usually would be getting smashed, so probably nobody noticed. So it didn't turn the result of any games, and he got away with it every time.
Oh,
I would like to go back and go through those.
Hey, Brett, you can have a prize for that one because it wasn't you.
I'll tell you what you got too, Brett. You got tickets to go see Jet Live when their Get Reborn tour celebrating 15 years of Get Born. Livenation.com.au to buy tickets. You got some free tickets for that. Well done.
Good stuff. Thanks, okay, Corey, were you involved in a cheating fiasco?
I believe so, yeah.
Why? What happened?
We were playing cricket and the first week we made 300.
Great.
Pretty good score. Come back the next week, the grass on the ground was completely dead.
What do you mean? Like, what do you mean dead?
Oh, like they must have got onto it with weed killer or something, but it was lightning after
no.
that.
I told you. I've had this one before. That
Boring.
Is just the classic over two-day match, which takes place over 2 weeks. That is your typical.
I can't stand the collusion that goes behind that. People right. getting together and thinking that's all right.
Yeah,
no,
well, that's the way it works. All win right. at all costs. Am I right, Daniel?
G'day, Mick, Jane, Dangerous. How are you?
You're right. Good.
Dan.
What do you see?
I was playing a mixed golf tournament with someone playing with a female and this other boy's playing with a female, and we've all teed off, and he's gone down the other fairway to go and retrieve his ball, and I've looked over just saying, what's taking you so long? And next minute, he's kicking his ball up the fairway.
Oh
no.
Well,
you know.
But you know the rules of golf. You cannot cheat at golf. That is taken very poorly.
You don't get one of those, and it's game over.
Thank you, Daniel, for that. We've got Twitter.
Fire away.
Barry Hearn has said,
yes.
I kicked a mongrel point against Brandon Park Tech, his local tech.
Right.
But the goal umpire was looking at the PE teacher's Mrs. Zumba's boobs. He awarded a goal and we ended up winning the game by 4 points. The goal umpire was a year 11 student from my school too, so that helped.
Oh, well, that's the way funny. It works.
Your new way to drive home. Malloy.
We'd love to welcome our great friend Carl Stefanovic.
Hello, Carl.
To the airwaves.
Well, I'm surprised I'm still here too. It's been a fun couple of weeks just laying low, staying out of the press, nothing big going on.
I was going to say that you'd be pretty happy with Steve Smith et al, wouldn't you, at this stage of the game?
All I can say is thank God for the Australian cricketers. Unselfish.
Yes,
oh,
unselfish.
Yes. they're doing the right thing, keeping you off the front pages, Carl. How are you going?
You could probably thank me as well. I think I've taken a bit of your spotlight up there. There's been a couple of little articles about my behaviour. So.
That's true. Nothing too outrageous. I put Stephen Category in the same category as my brother, really.
How's Pete doing?
Have you had a chat to
Who
him?
Who cares?
I just got to say, man.
You two talking?
I have two little brothers, and they would get a stern talking to in those circumstances.
Well, it's something to laugh at, and certainly he's still in a lot of trouble, and he's unlikely to get invited to any Stefanovic soirees in the future.
Well, speaking of, we do want to touch base on the story of the year so far, which is the Australian cricket team. And
I thought you were going somewhere.
No,
else.
Carl,
I love you, Jane.
Friend. Don't you worry about that. The Australian cricket team.
Where were you? How did you find out about it? When were you just stunned and shocked and amazed when you heard the news?
I was stunned. You know, because I played cricket when I was a young fella, and
you were a good cricketer, weren't you? I heard.
According to myself and the dispatches from my childhood,
yes.
We used to go to the Gabba when I was a kid and sit on the hill at the Gabba back in the day.
Great,
drinking at an early age.
That's right. You could take your own in those days, couldn't you? I think you could pretty much get on either end of a bathtub and arrive.
There's a lot of either ends at the Gabba, let me tell you. But I always looked up to the Australian cricket team and I always I played at a reasonable level, with Andrew Symons and people like that.
Yeah.
And I always looked up to them and you know, I remember the only weird thing ever to be in a cricketer's pocket was that pink blanket Steve Waugh had back in the day. You know, it was like his little blankie that he used to pull out and rub his, you know. But that's what we need. I mean, that's what we need. We need a leader like Steve Waugh, I think, to come back and to straighten the team out a little bit.
But seeing as we don't, and we have Steve Smith in there, or was it at that stage? Mm. How do you feel about the fact that do you suggest that these boys are role models?
I do.
Young kids and alike.
And look, I would not ever wish upon anyone a concentrated amount of press and And constant paparazzis and all that sort of stuff. And they're going to face that now because they're going to go through a torrid time. For that reason, I feel sorry for them. But with anyone in the public eye, there's a level of responsibility. And this is a huge job they have. They're an inspiration to a lot of people. I mean, they've got to wear the punishment. They've got to move away, walk away, suck it up, and rebuild if they can. I think they've got to go. Unfortunately for them,
yeah.
And there's got to be a really strong precedent set.
I think so, and I think the other thing is, I think Steve Smith should probably be precluded from ever captaining Australia again. I think you've had your shot at it, and you've.
You've kind of stuffed it.
You move on. And I think people could tolerate him being part of the side, but I think we'd have an issue if he was given the captaincy again.
And a year's a long time in cricket. Yep. A year is probably about right.
And what about financially, though? What happens there?
I think that the Australian cricket team, and the Australian cricket culture needs some strong leadership. I think they need to go for a year, and that should be precluded. They should be precluded from things like IPL. From going overseas and making money. I think there needs to be a very, very strong message sent about the financial discouragement from this stuff as well.
Carl, I reckon they should be made to hand money back, but in those giant checks like Tony Dredd used to give to them. Here you go.
Or in the brown paper bags they used to give us at nine.
Now, Carl.
I'm only joking about that.
To you, what about this? They're not allowed to bat or bowl, but they have to field. That's what it would have been. At my under 10s or 12s, that's generally the greatest punishment you can get is not getting a bat or a bowl.
There you go.
Yeah. I wish it was that simple. And you don't want them to be psychologically affected by this, and they probably will be, but hopefully they can come back. I think that the best way of them coming back is to be successful and to try and rebuild and put it behind them.
All right.
I think if you say sorry and genuinely mean it,
yes.
Then you should be given another chance down the track.
Carl, you did a great 60 Minutes interview the other night with Spunky Kylie.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the way that you questioned her. There's been a little bit of contention about your line of questioning to Kylie. I thought it was a bit of fun. Can we just hear one of your questions to her? Let's just have a listen.
It helps, obviously, that you're a hot 50-year-old.
Well, thanks. We try. I don't know what to say to that.
Yeah. Well, that's very complimentary, I would say.
He said the same thing to me when he interviewed me.
You are a very hot 50-year-old.
That's it. This is the opening line, Carl.
I'd be happy with that, to be frank.
Yeah, I mean, this sort of question is someone, as many, many people pointed out, that Ray Martin would have asked back in the day, but, you've got to liven things up a bit.
What was his best show? Corker Chicks and Hot Bloke. What was that? What was his show?
Look, sometimes questions that are designed to prompt and provoke a response
You know Charles Woolley.
Yeah. What do you mean by that, Jay?
Did you ask her about it?
You're no Tracy Grimshaw.
No.
Whoa! And rap battle. That's what I'd like to see.
I wasn't happy with Charles. That's what I was having a dig at.
Did you, my friend. Did you ask her about her dancing?
Oh, yeah. Did you ask Kylie about her dancing? Mick has been very harsh on Kylie.
I think she's like a...
Oh, no, don't you call her. You call her a clomper.
I call her clumpy.
I like a dancer. The thing is, she asked me to come over and interview her, and that's the sort of questions you get when you asked for me to come over and interview you.
Sure.
But I'm not joking. I would prefer that line and the way you question than other more traditional ways. And because I think welcome to 2018. That's how we talk to people these days.
Well, and it also, the other thing is, I mean, she has, the facts are, she's gone out with a lot of very good-looking dickheads.
Well, she has.
She admits that.
And let's just hear her reaction. We'll hear you ask this question.
Can you stop going for incredibly good-looking dickheads?
Yes.
Oh, well.
The question we all had on our own lips, so thanks for that.
The same could be asked of your partner right now. I would have thought, hey, by the way, Carl.
I'll take good looking.
Bone to pick with Carl Stefanovic. You're involved in some kind of ceremony involving your partner, and yet we haven't even got the bucks out of the ground yet.
No, but this is all practice. It's all practice, Mick. One step at a time.
What was the service? What do they call
commitment.
It? Commitment. Why can't we have a commitment? commitment bucks.
Well, I'm sure you can.
I would have thought, just to get the ball rolling, to iron out a few wrinkles.
I seem to recall very fondly us having a commitment ceremony of our own not so long ago in Sydney, Mick. So come on.
And I'm prepared to renew my vows anytime soon, Carl. Anytime you're ready.
Good God.
I want to divorce you, Mick, and remarry you. like Elizabeth Taylor.
Well, we'll get on to that one. Look, we really thank you too today for joining us.
Thanks for coming in, mate. Now, when you walk out of here today, will the Paps be there? Will they
there's one guy who followed me up, and there's all sorts of speculation. I'm joining radio now. So thanks, you guys.
can you outrun them on the Vespa? Can you?
Did you ride the Vespa today?
Yeah, the Vespa. I've took on board what you said about it being sort of a bad look. And I got on the other day and it couldn't even start. And so it's just a nightmare at the moment. Anyway,
you'll be right.
It's all good.
Thank you so much, Carl Stemanovic.
We love you guys.
We love you.
Love you. Bye.
Cheers.
Weekdays, 5:30 on Nine, The Today Show with Carl Stemanovic. Up next, Lee Sales joins us. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
And it's a corker. We're going to talk about Stormy Daniels, that interview, the fallout from it, and who's been cheating. Who's been cheated on?
Oh, I've got a feeling we're going to get quite a few calls come through.
We will take your calls.
I'm going to have a look at Bachelor in Paradise.
Are you ever?
Oh, yeah, I think I'm hooked.
You can't help yourself, can you?
You're like a
reality TV junkie. You move on. From one to the next.
You need a hit.
Whatever can give you your next fix.
Exactly. I'm a shocker.
I worry about you.
Don't worry about me.
There's going to be an intervention very soon, Jane.
I'm helping the community.
Hey, we're also going to talk to Lee Sales. There's so much to talk to her about.
A lot's breaking right now.
Pauline Hanson's new book. There's a Russian diplomats being booted out of the country.
And Lee's right on to that.
We'll get to the bottom of that.
Okay, great.
We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. All this and much, much more coming it right up. But let's start at the top. Stormy Daniels. If there's a theme to today's show, it's cheating.
Yes.
In some way or another, whether you're the captain of Australia or the president of the United States, it doesn't matter how powerful you are or how much prestige you have, you seem to be capable of the same human folly we all have.
Unfortunately.
Myself excluded.
Yourself excluded,
from
of course.
Time to time.
No, now, I've been saying lately, Mickey, everybody cheats at the top is my account. Facebook, do you know what I mean?
Yes,
everyone who gets to these...
It's
positions.
Shonky and it stinks to that
Why?
Heaven so
Why?
High. I don't know. But listen, Stormy Daniels has tipped a bucket, dropped a bomb on the otherwise, nothing sticks to this bloke. It just doesn't matter
really
anymore. I was watching, he did an interview with 60 Minutes with Anson Cooper. It was fairly apparent that this stuff happened, at least to my untrained eye. Mm. Yet there's a whole swag of women who voted for Trump who refuse to believe that he is capable.
They still don't, even after Stormy Daniels. This is the problem. Even though she's come out and said, this is what happened.
This is what happened.
There's a bunch of women who are not accepting that, and they would rather believe Donald Trump than Stormy Daniels. There's also another woman, Karen McDougall, who's a Playboy bunny, who's also come out with her story during last week and said the very same story, basically.
It is indeed. And this is also, they refuse to believe a man who's been caught on tape talking about grabbing women on the pussy. Mm-hmm. So let's all remember that particular scenario. And also has marketed himself over the years as a playboy, as a billionaire playboy who can handle as many women as anyone can. His comments backstage at his own beauty contest, which was Miss Universe, where he said, I can have anyone. I can do it. So why this is unbelievable. Here's the sticking point for me. Mm-hmm. Here's the telltale moment for me, is when his wife, Melania Trump, goes MIA. And it's usually when there's accusations like this, or doesn't turn up to the UN or whatever, you go, he's in the tin, right?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
He's in the tin. She believes he's cheating, for sure, through her antics. And even the two women were asked about this.
Well, let's have a listen to what Stormy said when it's with regard to how they think
cheating
Melania.
On Melania.
Yeah.
Melania Trump had recently given birth to a son just a few months before. Did he mention his wife or child at all in this?
I asked. And he brushed it aside, said, oh, yeah, you know, don't worry about that. We have separate rooms and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty pleasant,
good
isn't
egg.
It?
He's good egg. Who's the other woman?
The other woman is Karen McDougall. She's the Playboy bunny that also spoke out and had an interview this week. And she was asked how she would feel if she, what would she want to say to Melania Trump? Sure.
If Melania Trump is watching this, what would you want her to know?
It's a tough one. What can you say except I'm sorry? I'm sorry. I wouldn't want it done to me. I'm sorry.
Right, there you go.
Well, I mean, those girls are guilty as charged and know what they did. Here's a cheating scenario that, well, as we were saying, not sport related, but on
it's
another
cheating.
Level.
Do you know what? And these women, they've got him because the only person he won't go on Twitter is Stormy Daniels. He no one else who crosses him. He is bang. He cannot wait to get onto it and tweet his ass off. He is yet to still mention her by name or even refer to the whole incident.
I said that she had something in common with Monica Lewinsky.
Yes, you did.
One of Stormy's best friends is claiming that she's kept the dress from that night.
Who has?
Stormy Daniels has kept the dress the night she had sex with the president.
Wow. And we're still holding out hope she's got those dick pics.
That's gone quiet.
They'll end up in the Smithsonian.
That's right. Where look, this up. Is a hard one. Look, we've just interviewed.
Should have like the Lincoln Memorial and stuff. Eventually, this should be one of Trump.
We don't know how far it goes back. Look, we want to hear from you. If you're prepared to talk about it, if you've had someone cheat on you, and how did they do it? How did you find out?
Come on, you could win a prize.
we're sympathetic here, but
it's,
you know,
it's not fun. It's cheating's the
cheating
topic of the
is
day.
Shocking.
Have you been cheated on? Yeah. How did you find out? What were the circumstances? As someone I know who got busted for cheating because he came home. I told you this because his tie was at a different height than when he left in the morning.
His tie.
Which means he's had it off at some stage during the day.
Well, how stupid is that? What's wrong with men? Can't they do a bloody tie?
Anyway, have you been cheated on? What can you win?
Wow, lots of prizes. Prizes galore.
Get a prize pack. Well. Come on, we're interested to know. Aaron, you got cheated on, yeah?
Yeah, mate.
What happened?
I had some suspicions it was going on. You know, I was getting all these late night texts. I worked in hospitality there for years, and I was getting, what time are you coming home? What time are you coming home? I said, it's pretty busy, so. I won't be home for a few hours, and then I started to catch on. And then I decided to, she texts me again and goes, what time are you coming home? I said, it's going to be a late one.
Yeah.
I left work earlier.
Right.
So I got home.
You laid the trap.
Laid the trap, got home early. And I only had one key into the house, and that was through the garage and then through the door, you know, the door that leads into the garage.
Yeah.
And all the doors were locked. So I waited out the front for like half an hour, so I pretended to put the bins out because it was bin night, and hear the guy come out the back door. So I opened up all the doors to see the entrance, to see which way he would come out.
Yeah.
So I left the doors all open, and I put the bins out and look around the corner, and there he was coming out, and he walked past. He said, "G'day, mate," and I said, "I'm not your mate, buddy."
Oh,
wow.
He even had the nerve to say g'day to me.
Give Aaron a prize.
Yes.
And then during that night, I got her phone and said, "Ooh, that was a close one," thinking I didn't know.
Aaron. Yeah, real close. Closer than you'll ever imagine.
Yeah.
Aaron, you'll be right. Move on. You can do better than that.
$100 gold class voucher for you there. Aaron, well done, mate.
Yep, great. Katie, you've got, was it you've been cheated on?
Me?
Yes.
Definitely, unfortunately.
What happened?
My ex-boyfriend of 3 years had another girlfriend for an entire year.
What?
And I had no clue.
Oh, my God.
All right, now how did you work it out or put it all together?
I hacked into his computer and his phone. And found plenty of evidence. Wish I'd hacked in earlier.
So, why did you do that? Were you suspicious, or you're just going about the business of hacking into your partner's stuff, or?
I was a little pissed and decided I'm going to have a little bit of sneak through. And unfortunately, I found some stuff I probably didn't want to know, but should have.
And is this stuff like pictures, Kate?
More texts, more just like emails and texts. And
how'd you confront him?
quite loudly.
Okay. Were you waiting for him when he got home? Did you chuck a whole heap of emails at him? How did it go?
I sent him a text first, and he came home and just sort of stood there, and I just let it rip.
And then did he sing like a canary then, Kate?
He was pretty unapologetic. He was more like, I'm so glad this is now off my shoulders. Like, I feel so much better now.
Yeah, because I do feel sorry for him. I mean, it's tough in those circumstances.
He was so relieved for himself that it was all out in the open.
Oh, diddums, poor boy.
Don't be like that.
Poor boy.
It's tough for everyone involved.
Hey, thanks, Kate.
Kate, give Kate.
Kennedy Malloy prize pack coming to you, Kate. All sorts of good stuff in there. Great. Thanks for calling. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Kate.
Nick, you've been cheated on as well, I believe.
Yes, I have. How are you going, Mick and Jane?
Good. What were the circumstances?
I was married for 26 years and I just had a gut feeling something wasn't right. Yep. So every time I'd call him, he wouldn't answer the phone and then he'd ring me from the toilet.
That's a telltale.
So far, so bad, yep.
Yes. And then so I just kept on. He wasn't him. He was just very, wouldn't have his phone out of his pocket and, you know, just always on his laptop, just trying to be near him, doing something.
Yep.
So then he was drunk one night, so I grabbed his mobile phone with all these messages from all these women in his phone.
Wow.
And then I went to his iPad and I found some other phone numbers. So he used to go to Tasmania with work for a week.
Oh, yeah.
Did he now?
And so I rang one of the numbers and it was a woman who was from Tasmania and she said that he told her that we were going through a custody battle with children. My children were adults, mind you, they're adults, and that we were divorced and that she'd met him on Oasis dating website.
So okay, that's fairly comprehensive report you've got on him there.
And, Nick, that's generally shady behaviour. So, but you sound like you're in pretty good spirits, so it's probably the best thing that ever happened to you, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think he had – well, he had three on the go, Jane.
Oh, dear, dear. Give her a prize.
Yeah, you're going to go see Jet live, the Get Reborn Tour, livenation.com.au.
Thanks for sharing.
You'll be right. Too good for that light, Nick. Caroline's on the line. Caroline, you've been cheated on. I hope it's not true.
Not once, not twice, but three times.
Oh, that sounds like a song, Carolyn. What's going on?
Three different boyfriends?
No, same person.
Wow. Well, three times.
You keep going back, though.
What happened?
I did. Well, the final time, you know, it was the first time I forgive him. Second time, you're going to get one more chance. Third time, I got a phone call from a man who said, you don't know me. My name's Ted, and I just found my wife and your husband in a motel room together.
Oh, my God.
Okay, I'll give you one more chance.
Caroline.
That was it. His stuff was packed before he'd even got home.
Good on you, Karen. Did you end up with Ted?
No.
Well, great. I have a prize for you too, Carolyn. That's
Kennedy
great.
Malloy
Thank
prize
you.
Back for you, Carolyn.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Right. Is that it? Are we done? I think we might be done. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there's a load of more callers, so we might have to address this again at some stage.
But everyone's good. All those chicks were good-spirited about it, weren't they? And it's probably the best thing that ever happened
to
them.
And, man, if we've learned anything today, it's your computer and your phone.
How about trying a password?
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
And now we say good afternoon to the very fine Lee Sales. How are you, Lee?
I'm very well, Janie. Hey, Mick.
Hey, how are you? I'm looking forward to 7:30 tonight, as per usual. We were supposed to talk to you slightly earlier, but we were delayed because you had some, I don't know, smaller interview to do than talk to me and Jane. Who have you just come from right now?
I have been down in the studio talking to the Russian ambassador to Australia, a bloke by the name of Grigory Lovinov.
Right. He's just been given the arse, has he?
No, well, some of his people have. So what's happened is, so you might have seen that story about the former Russian double agent who was poisoned in the UK, Sergei Skripal, his name was. And so the Brits have expelled some Russian diplomats and we've followed suit and expelled a couple. So he was coming on to talk about how Russia feels about us.
The world's gone mad. Everyone's jumped in on this. Even America has sent 60 diplomats home. Is that true?
Yeah. Yep, there's a couple of dozen countries who've gotten involved. old. So he, there was a quite interesting exchange in the interview where I said to him, because it's been reported that the two that we've expelled are actually spies. And so I said, is it correct that the two diplomats have been expelled were in fact spies? And he said, he sort of scoffed and said, no ambassador would answer this question of yours. You would not ask it of another ambassador. And I said, well, if I had another ambassador in your position, I probably would. So let me ask it again. Were they intelligence operatives?
Yeah.
And he goes, this is funny question. Everyone in my embassy is career diplomat.
Wow.
So he sounds like, as you said before, we're chatting a little bit of central casting, but fair income, a classic Russian ambassador.
He was very smart and tough. He was a hard interviewee, actually. He had me running around the kitchen table.
Well, let's just hope nothing untoward happens to you in the next couple of weeks, Lee.
I think she'll be all right.
How these Russians operate.
Hopefully you'll be protected by our government. Have we got some of Malcolm Turnbull commenting on this? Let's just have a listen to Malcolm.
Outraged at the antics of the Russians.
Rather than getting sentimental about John le Carré novels and bygone eras, let's just focus on the very hard facts here. We have a government which has used a chemical weapon on the soil of another nation in an attempt to assassinate individuals. It is a shocking infringement of the sovereignty of the United Kingdom.
We were just saying, Lee, it's interesting how Australia gets very, very indignant once everyone else is on board. Are we always a bit late for the party when it comes to international law and how we respond?
I thought I might ask Julie Bishop, the foreign minister's on tonight as well. And so I thought I might ask her, you know, why are we sort of getting involved in this? Because it's not our region. We don't sort of have any particular, it was not like we're not the UK or the United States. We don't have any particular beef with Russia. So, you know, why are we putting a dog into the fight, basically, is my question. I suspect what she'll say is, well, we're an ally of all those people. And, you know, so forth. So, yeah.
Lee, Tony Abbott has launched Pauline Hanson's new book today. And there's a little bit of buzz, a little bit of word around that Tony is sort of indicating that he's not finished entirely with politics.
Well, you know, the thing that was so interesting about that was that Tony and Pauline Hanson used to hate each other.
Well, they're rather odd bedfellows.
Who would you rather interview out of those two?
Well, I'd neither of them seem to like hanging out with me very much, Mick. I've been trying to get both of them on the show for quite a while. I'd happily take either or both at the same time.
And what about that book? A bit of a page turner? Is that a bedside? Is that a 50
cover.
Shades of Grey for you?
Do you
at
know
home?
What the front cover is, Mick?
What's that?
It's her in a burqa.
Oh, good
We're
Lord.
Lifting up the... Oh. Yeah, seriously, it's Pauline lifting up the front
the
of the
last
burqa.
One was... Her an Australian flag, wasn't it? When she wrote a memoir years ago, I think she was draped in an Australian flag.
I think we've got a little bit. Just let's have a listen to Tony Abbott.
My determination is to be of the best service I can be to the people of Australia. And I think that public life is a vocation. It's not a job, it's not a career, it's a calling. It has its ups and its downs. But you don't walk away from it just because you've had a down. As I've sometimes said, politics is like a big game of snakes and ladders, and sometimes you land on a snake, and sure, you've got to go back a few places, but that's just the way it is.
Wow.
Who's the snake in that analogy?
Yes.
I see politics as hungry, hungry hippos.
It's very tricky.
It's a big talking point because Malcolm Turnbull's about to lose 30 news polls in a row, which was this benchmark that he set up when he shafted Tony Abbott. Mm-hmm. And he's about to hit the 30 himself. But, you know, the issue is that there's not really anyone who's going to step up. And I think even Tony Abbott himself would concede he doesn't have the votes in the party room to replace Malcolm Turnbull. So I think this 30 news polls milestone will come and go.
We want to speak with you more. I want to talk to you about binge watching. You've been letting the world know that you're up for a bit of viewing over the weekend,
good
Lee.
Stuff coming up, Jane.
There is.
I saw an interview where you said you wouldn't rule out the return of Frontline.
Oh, don't bring that up again. Wow. Oh, you're a hardened journalist, Lisa.
You should put her under the pump here. You should ask her some hard questions, Lee.
But let's hear your song first from a bit of Choir Boys.
It is Run to Paradise.
And that song means something to you, Lee. Why is that?
Oh, well, just I was going to talk about a story we had on 7:30 last night about young people campaigning for gun law reform, and I was just thinking about young people, and it reminded me of my own misspent youth and listening to bogan songs like Run to Paradise.
Yep. Now, when it comes to gun laws in America, I gave the white flag after Sandy Hook when I thought all those kids were done. I thought, that's it. If you can't get that across the line, you're cooked. You hold out a feather of hope. Now, do you?
I feel exactly the same as you, Mick. When that happened, I thought if they can't change it from this, it means that future gun deaths they accept as the price of their right to have whatever weapons they like. Mm. But, you know, it's been interesting after this Florida one, and I thought the same when that happened, but I have been amazed to see all these amazing young people.
Aren't they incredible?
The way that they've sort
unbelievable.
Of just so articulate and so passionate and just absolutely... And mature, like they're just amazing. So you sort of look at them and you just wonder, you know, maybe I don't think immediately, but maybe in future generations, you know, it might change.
When you see that many people out in the streets, we saw it with the women's movement, and you see it now with young people.
Yes,
you go. These are scenes we've never seen before, or at least in recent history. It gives you some kind of hope that if they do, they've correctly identified two areas: getting out and voting, and targeting politicians who are in the pocket of the NRA. If those two things come, there might be something.
It struck me too, one thing, that often it's a bit cliched to say and accuse Americans of being a bit cheesy and a bit over the top, especially young people. But what has taken me is by the way these young kids have been quite calm and composed, and as you said, eloquently, and really sort of low key, even from what they're wearing, it's the last thing on their minds to dress up and do anything like this. I've loved that aspect of it.
Yeah, and I wonder, I mean, I lived in the US for 4 years and I was always struck generally by how articulate a lot of Americans are. And I wonder if they do something in their education system where they do a lot of public speaking or something, because they do seem to be just, all these young people, I mean,
together.
They just speak so well.
Especially in front of a camera. You poke your camera in our kids' faces and it goes quiet very quickly. But
Well, I notice in Australia when you do vox pops with people, you know, when you go out to the street and just ask the average punter what they think of something. In Australia, you'd have about maybe a 50% hit rate of people who don't even want to speak to you. Yes. And then of the 50% who do, maybe 50% say something that's vaguely usable.
Yep.
In America, it was just like 100%. Everyone said something awesome.
Now, what about the biggest story ever in your time in the news business and this country, bar none, which is the scandalous behaviour of the Australian cricket team? How have you been approaching that, and where does this all go? What does it mean to Australians?
I think we last night were trying to sort of explore, you know, what I think is a really central question, which is how come pretty much every single Australian, when this news came out on Sunday, just went, are you serious? And we're just beyond outrage and thought, you know, if I'd pulled that stunt when I was playing backyard cricket with my brother, I would have got a horsey bite that would still be stinging today. And yet, so every Australian basically realised this, except the Australian cricket team.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's staggering,
I mean,
that aspect,
I can't understand it.
Matty Renshaw has been added to the test squad, so he'll be lining up for the final test against South Africa after a few other people won't be able to play.
But it was pretty incredible, like the cricket at Steve Smith and the other guys, they sort of had this almost like blasé attitude, like, oh, it's no big
That's
deal.
That's what I thought, yep.
No, they underplayed it or something, didn't they?
Well, they thought it was incredible. Done and dusted, and I think they all went to bed after that press conference going, well, we owned it, we spoke up, we were truthful, at least we said what we'd done. Gone to bed and slept and probably not realised what has broken out.
Even the acting captain yesterday, Payne, said, I don't think anybody could have expected this reaction. And I thought, wow, that still shows a level of disconnect. Yeah. You don't think that being busted egregiously cheating would have caused a massive reaction in Australia?
Agreed.
Lee, we will see you on our tellies tonight. And we'll look forward to seeing the Russian ambassador in particular.
Can I just say, I'm a bit disgruntled that you actually dressed up for him. I know. You're TV ready, whereas normally
I usually just come slopping into you, Mick, in my bloody jeans and my T-shirt.
We look forward to that tonight on 7:30. The best in the business, Lee Sales. Good luck, Lee, and we will be watching tonight.
Thanks, gang. See ya.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy.
Bachelor in Paradise is back on the TV, Mick. Loves it.
Great.
I was not going to watch it, And then I've decided
Kennedy, did you actually say that to yourself, did you?
I was saying it to myself so that I could
How long did you last?
I was going to read a book instead. Really? Well, I lasted one night.
One night? Yeah, unbelievable. And what, you were just walking past the TV, it was on.
Oh, I might have been on Sunday night. I might have been really looking forward to it, playing my whole night about it.
I can't even talk to my family, my wife and my daughter, 7:30. Sorry, Dad.
Okay.
Is that it? Well, what do you do when that happens?
Well, I just drift off.
Joins in the fun.
No, I drift off, read a book or get
the budgies.
This is filling the void, perhaps for some people, where maths, Married at First Sight, left off.
How's it go? Explain
Osher Gunsborg set it up for you.
Nothing says summer romance like a cool drink by the pool at a stunning tropical resort. Well, all you need is somebody to share it with. This magnificent location is about to be home to some of the most memorable people from every season of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette.
Memorable people or the big fat duds?
Yes.
Is that the way you've... phrasing it, is
well,
it? Losers. Loser Island, it should
well,
be called.
They are losers because they didn't win the show. The girls are the all-the-A-plus type personality kind of earaches, as in like really like pointy, bossy, loud, noisy. Oh, there's no demure women on it at all, okay. I'll give you the tip.
No little wallflowers?
No wallflowers.
No needs to come out of their
all
shell.
The guys are pretty much all the dickheads, I have to say. They're very vain. They're showy and they wear singlet tops that are half the size. Right. They don't fit properly.
Is this the one Sophie Monk's in? Isn't she doing one on an island?
That's another one that hasn't started yet.
Oh,
I think this is a spoiler show. It's been on. Just revisit. There was one bloke that was pretty much not liked last year on Bachelorette. Mm. His name was Blake. Let's just listen to the ramblings of the intelligent Blake.
Sure. How do I describe Blake? 50% douche, 50% arrogant and 50% funny and says what he thinks. Actually, 50% says what everybody thinks.
Is he talking about himself?
Yes. First of all, speaking in third person, dickhead. And secondly, that adds up to 200%, so he's a flipping idiot as well.
Doesn't mathematically add up.
Shouldn't I be eating my chips while we're just doing this? Like I should be.
Don't confuse me. I've got to get through it. I've got an agenda to get through.
Right.
Is what one of the girls, one of the demure women, says about Flo. This is what she says about Blake.
Aside, Blake is not my type, but then again, who knows? I've said that about so many guys. Oh, no, Flo, that sounds like you're a massive slut.
Yes, you are a massive slut. Okay, moving on. Enter Lorena. Do you remember Lorena?
We talked about
Dirty Street Pie. Sure. Dirty Street Pie Lorena. Let's just say she's on another planet, I think. Let's hear her affirmations and what she's looking for in this island situation.
I'm very content with my life right now. I put a lot of effort into setting my days up with intentions and affirmation. I am love. I am light. I am laughter. I'm pretty mindful about putting out a lot of love.
You are deranged.
I am knob.
Yes, so she does all these affirmations. High maintenance.
I'm trouble.
Mick, have a listen to the list of what she's looking for in a man.
Ultimately, I would love to be with someone who is intelligent and witty, loving and affectionate and funny, somebody who is spontaneous and adventurous, committed and respectful, playful and adoring, somebody who knows how to be peaceful, somebody who's spiritual, a man of God, somebody with pretty high energy and who's really healthy, accepting and understanding, somebody who's inspired to be the best version of themselves. It's a big list.
I've got this.
I was about to say, I don't know if you fit the profile.
I've got this.
Okay.
So that is...
Isn't that insane?
That's right. What I've got, Tinder page.
But say, speaking of Tinder, this is like live Tinder. This is why I'm watching it.
Has anyone got their end away yet?
A couple
Who's
have.
Who's rooting who?
I think there's a few might have had a few shag around.
Already?
I think that's happening.
What, they've gone too early?
They have, but there's nothing better. It's like basically like a teenage party where everyone's sitting around saying, are you going to pash her? I'm going to pash her, you know. But
what are they, on an island?
Early
doors, Dunk Island.
Do you know what island it is?
What?
You know the first person who we put on Gone the Blub, Jared?
Jared? Is it the island?
Yeah, it's the same island he got kicked off. Let's have a listen to Jared.
I need a minute.
You good?
No.
Jared? You alright? Jared? Jared? What's wrong?
Oh, I just need a minute.
Is it because that?
It just reminds me of my nana and my grandma. They're all gone now.
I guarantee you, he will not get his end away.
He will not.
He will not. He'll be in his onesie.
He's not going to last. A blub. That's, paradise. What is it called? Bachelor in Paradise.
I like it, Jane.
It's on Sundays and Mondays, so you got to wait till Sunday night to see Jared.
Or as Mick calls it, Loser Island. A nice little ring.
You'll
to
be
it.
Hooked, Mick Malloy. I'll get you on this show. Let's watch it together.
Oh, okay. Well, you got me. You've whet my appetite.
Your new way to drive home. Kennedy Malloy.
Still doing the chip test. Oh, I brought some chips in for Mickey to try because I was in the supermarket and I saw these crazy flavours. All right, 4 and 5 you've got to try. Try this one. What does that taste like?
That is toilet water.
Is that what it is?
No, it's not toilet water.
Toilet water with a hint of jockstrap.
Yuck.
That was sriracha chili and wild lime.
Jeez,
you have got a face of like a 3-year-old screwing it up. You don't. And try these ones. Hang on.
Number 5.
Yep, number 5.
This better
five,
be good, Jane Kennedy.
And I want you to tell me what the overriding bouquet is of that chip. There's something there that's so unusual. What is it? Come on, you've got to get one right. I've given you 5 bloody bowls and you've got one right.
I got this. Potato. I've got a hint of potato.
Yes.
I can get potato.
You're an idiot. It's sea salt and black truffle.
I knew that.
Truffle.
You did not. You could have got truffle.
I could have got truffle.
Have you ever tasted truffle?
I could be a truffle pig. I could.
You could
if
be.
I got it on all fours and ran around, I could get it. Hide a truffle in the studio one day and I bet you I can find it.
Julia Zemiro to join us tomorrow and Lawrence Mooney as well. Thanks for joining us. This has been Kennedy Malloy.
2 comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.